Did you all have a good ice Sunday last week? I hadn't had one of those in a long, long time. That was fun. But once is enough. That's it for a while. So I'm glad that we're here today and we're going along a little further into Advent, into the hope that Jesus talks about Advent Sunday, the Advent Sundays. And I want to take a look today at this question of John the Baptist. But first, what I want to do is point out a question that I hear often. You probably share it among each other. Maybe it comes to your mind. And that is, how do I know that was God? How do I know that was God? How do I know that answer was God? How do I know that thought was God? How do I know I'm hearing God's voice and all of this? And there's a lot of reasons that that would come up. One of the main ones, one of the reasons that often happens is that there is an underlying, sometimes unconscious fear, anxiety, that will be cut off from God. And we cut off from God if we believe the wrong thing, behave the wrong way, or belong to the wrong group. Did that ever cross your mind? Okay, you don't have to answer out loud, really, but I'm kind of thinking it may have. And one of the things that we do is kind of hold on to this idea that if we were not believing the right thing, behaving the right way, or belonging to the right group, then we're not going to be in on what God is doing. And in fact, that's going to be a block for our ability to hear God or to recognize His presence. And, let me just say a couple of things about that. Then I want to see with you together how that ties in to what Jesus told John the Baptist when he was in prison. First of all, to believe the right thing, often people will think that has to do with having a correct set of ideas. So, and belief for many of us is an intellectual exercise. I believe this, I believe that, I agree with this idea, I agree with that idea. And if for some reason I no longer agree with an idea that I think is part of the Christian faith, then I will be out. Now, I'm sure none of you think that, but there's a lot of people who think that, and they think, well, that's, I'm going to be disqualified. And then another step is, I'd rather not do anything with a God who treats me that way. I should be free to believe whatever I want. And you've been with people down that road. When it comes to behaving the wrong way, I can only say one thing. Good luck with that not sinning thing. I don't know how you get out of that. Just do what you can do. And that's grace. That's the Christian life and all that. And then belonging to the wrong group. A lot of people think if I belong to the wrong group, have the wrong set of friends, those kinds of things, then God's not going to be pleased with any of that. And, what are you going to do? To which I would like to point out, and this is what Jesus is getting at when he starts talking to John the Baptist, sending an answer back to John the Baptist. When Jesus came to the earth, he came down from heaven. When you follow Jesus, that's where you're going. There is no wrong group. You cannot associate with a group, any group, and be kicked out of the kingdom. And we're going to unpack that a little further in the near future. Particularly over Christmas. So I just want to leave that thought with you, and I want to put a foundation in about that Jesus shares with John the Baptist. And you noticed, I think, that John the Baptist was in prison, and he knew it was the end. There wasn't much time for him left. Someday I'd tell you about my friend, this first year as a deacon, read the beheading of John the Baptist presenting to Herod on a platter on Thanksgiving morning by mistake. It was awful, just awful. But that's a different matter. We'll get to that some other time. So at any rate, so John the Baptist is there in prison. He has given everything for the kingdom of God. He has really given up all comforts, anything that you could think of, and he's there by himself. He's Jesus' cousin. He's given it all to prepare the way for Jesus to come. He sends his disciples to follow Jesus. And now here he is facing his execution in prison. So naturally, he would have a little bit of... did I make a mistake here? What? I don't know. And so he says, he sends his disciples, go and ask Jesus if he's the one. Yeah, you know, you can almost picture it. It's a little dressed up here. Yeah, go find that cousin of mine and ask him what's going on, all right? Because here I am. So Jesus says, go back and tell John what's going on. And this is the translation from the Message, which I find very, very helpful this morning. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. Is that what you were expecting? Then count yourselves most blessed. Count yourselves most blessed. There is a welcome that God gives to the entire world as well as to you and me individually. And that welcome is as wider, actually, than we can imagine. It's infinite. And it is infinite in every way. In fact, if you don't mind my saying, it's infinite in an infinite number of ways. And that's how big it is. It's just that big. And for the world, the welcome to the world has to do with Jesus coming after those who are the furthest away from him. The furthest possible person you can imagine away from Jesus, even amongst people that you know right now or in history or whatever it is, he came for them. He went to the place where they are. He goes to the place where you are. The place where there is the most darkness is the place where he goes. That is the hope of the world. That is what he's proclaiming. And when he said, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised, all of that, those were signs breaking in of when all things would be set right. And that he was beginning to bring into the world. And he didn't come saying, well, here's my teaching, so you need to step up into it. He's saying, here I am. And I am with you. It goes the opposite way of what we usually think. There is no one outside of the welcome of God, no matter what. It's a very powerful thing. That's why whenever you go anywhere at all, God is already there. When you leave from here, And you go do whatever you will do this afternoon or tomorrow or during the week, God will already have been there before you got there with that great welcome. And the welcome is not to straighten things up. The welcome is to bring the hope that he carries into the world. That's the message of the shepherd's candle today. And as I mentioned, when we lit that candle, the shepherds were the outcasts of society. They were pretty much as low as you could get for a number of reasons. They couldn't observe the religious obligations of the Jewish faith because of their job. Do you know anybody like that? Can't make it because of their job? Yeah, they had to go out and watch the flock during the high holy days of the Jewish year. And that put them on the outs, at the very least, with the rest of society. Plus they lived with sheep all the time. They weren't very clean or anything like that. People just didn't want to be around them. Jesus is born. Who's the first group of people to see this group of angels throughout the heavens proclaiming the glory of God and are told to go? And it's them. That's where Jesus goes today. And when we follow him, that's where we go. You may have relationships right now where it feels in that relationship as if there's blindness, deafness, lameness, disease, death. Who knows what it is? It's going on. The relationship is just toxic, terrible, awful. And yet that's where Jesus is. There is something in there about him and his presence that he wants to show you. And when you see it, you'll see more of who he is. And you will also begin to see the kingdom breaking in. And when the kingdom breaks in, that's a sign of the hope that we celebrate in Advent of when he will set all things right. When the world will be as it was created to be. It will be restored to what Jesus desires. Now the same thing happens with you and me, personally. There is a welcome that Jesus has to us, personally. And that's why I started with that dynamic that goes on. Why people sometimes think, well, that's not God speaking to me. I'm not hearing God's voice. I'm afraid of being cast out. You know, if I believe in the wrong thing, behave the wrong way, belong to the wrong group, all of that. Jesus comes into that place within us. And his welcome for us is very, very wide, infinitely wide again. And all of the dark places within us, Jesus is already there. Where can I go, David wrote in Psalm 139, to hide from your spirit? If I go to the depths of darkness, you are already there. What's the darkest place within your soul? Jesus is already there. What is the innermost, darkest drawer that you never open? Jesus is already there. What's the thing you don't want anybody to know about? And believe me, we don't want to know about that. But Jesus is already there. He already knows about it. He's ready. No matter what it is that's going on within you about any of that, he says, you are mine. You are my child. You are the one I've chosen. I don't care how many times you've fallen or done it wrong, or hurt somebody else, or made the wrong step, or lied, or cheated, or anything else you can think of, you're mine. I do it all for you. Now there's a reason for that, other than the ones I've been talking about, and I want to put it this way to you. In the eyes of God, you count. And everyone you know counts. And everything about you counts. It can be very easy to get in a position where we're kind of marking time. It's for one reason or another, thinking, well, I'll do this for now until I get to where I really want to be. And which you have to do sometimes. You set goals, there's horizons and all that. That's a good thing to do. But it's easy in that period before you reach where you want to be thinking, well, this is not me. This is not all that good. I mean, it's all right, but I'll go along. And here is the situation, the deal, if you will, with that. That counts too. Before I came here, as you know, I was looking around for a few months for work like this. That was not a joke, but okay. All right. That's fine. I can go with that. No, we had finished at one church and needed to close it down, of course, and I was a few months looking around. It would have been easy. In fact, it was very easy for me to call that period, that five-month period, a wilderness. Now, I know the wilderness has purpose, and the purpose of a wilderness is to increase your soul so that you can embrace the promise that's yet to be fulfilled. But I was not in a wilderness. And God really made that quite plain to me at one point. And he said, you are being pruned. And the purpose of pruning is greater fruit. That counted. I wasn't marking time till I got a job like this. I turned and said, oh, okay, I'm not doing this right. And I turned completely to the presence of God, whatever that was going to be, so that more fruit could be born in that, out of that time. People who you know, some of you maybe, after high school, just you go into a period of life, well, okay, I'll see them at college maybe, or school or training or something, just until I figure out what I want to do. I'll just kind of mark time, or I'll go out with this person until the right one comes along. Or in between jobs, you know, like I did, well, I'll just do what I have to do until the right thing shows up. Something changes in your life. All right, I'll do what I do until I get to where I really want to be. It's when you're doing what you do that you count in the eyes of God. And Jesus looks at you and says, you are mine. And the Father looks at you and says, you are the one I love. That was born before there was time, and it comes from the place beyond time, right now, into your heart. And Jesus writes it, you are mine. No one will take you out of my hand. You count eternally. This morning, we started singing praises to God as we do every Sunday morning. And as you may or may not know, in the book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, beginning of the last chapter, God is there on his throne, enjoying all the praises of the angels and archangels in heaven, hearing songs you and I have not yet heard, incredible praises to God. And then Wayne starts with the banner. And God says, stop. They are praising me at St. Francis. Somebody write that in the book of remembrance, the eternal book of remembrance. Because it counts to God to the point where he stops the praises of the angels and archangels and says, record this for eternity. That's where you and I stand. There'll be an awful lot of God we just don't catch because of his infinite love and mercy and power and grace and hope. But we can catch this. You and I count, and we always will count. There'll never be a time when we don't count in the eyes of God. Now that's tremendously comforting. That's the hope on which we stand. And then there is the challenge that continues to form us, even crucify us as we go along. And that is to carry that hope out to those who just aren't convinced of it at this point. And that's what Jesus would have you and I do, to carry that in some way. To carry that in a way where we don't understand what's going to happen. And we may not know the method or the means that God uses through our lives to do that, but even if we don't, and even if we don't do it well, it still counts. All right. You plant a seed, you still put horse manure on it, and that counts. Is there something Jesus is telling you about this morning, in your life specifically? Is there some way that you hear him saying, just let me in here. I have something for you. Is there some area of your life where he's saying, you belong to me no matter what? Is there some relationship he wants to bring restoration or redemption or something that comes from his heart into that relationship you have? What's he saying to you? Because you belong to him. And he says things to you. And as he says them to you, he creates things in you. What's he saying? What's he giving? What's he opening? What picture is he putting in your soul? What melody is now going through your heart that maybe is new? What memory is coming back that you couldn't have stood before, but now at this moment it's filled with hope? What have you found because of the voice of Jesus this morning that you want to take and run to all your neighbors and your friends and look, I thought it was lost and here it is? That is the hope on which we stand. And when you receive that, then there are steps to take, a way to walk. There's something beyond just agreeing with religious ideas, hoping that you behave okay, all the way into knowing you belong in the family of God and always will. What I'd like to do is just take this moment quietly before God so that whatever that is starts sinking in just a little deeper, so you can walk in that with a little more confidence after today than you may have otherwise. Let's just be silent before the Lord.